All right, so we've been talking about the covenants. This is the fourth week. We are in the Noahic covenant or Noahic covenant. Depends on who you talk to is how it's said. I mean, you know, there's a couple words that are like that, right? Potato, patata, hash browns. It's all, that's how I like it. That's why I like home fries better, actually. But anyway, this covenant, what we're talking about with covenant, the covenant and the title of what I want us to understand about the covenants of God is his covenants are the power, show us the power of God's unbreakable love. How many of you know his love is, you can't stop his love. We can't be separated from his love. Paul tells us that in the scripture. He's like, not height, nor depth, nor principalities, nor power, nor anything can separate us from the love of God. And these covenants show us that. These covenants over and over and over teach us that. Remember, the definition of covenant, let me do that again. Usually a formal, solemn, or binding agreement. Two is a written agreement or a promise, usually under seal, between two or more parties, especially for the performance of some action. Now, in the scripture, there's controversy about this too, whether there's six or whether there's eight covenants. I believe there are eight covenants, and that's what we're going through. The second week, we went through the Edenic covenant, and that was with Adam, a covenant with Adam. We went through the Adamic covenant, and that was with Adam as well. Let me go back. The Edenic covenant was about ruling the world. Remember, he said, here, I've put you here. I've put you in, with dominion over everything. This is what's supposed to happen. Adam and Eve broke the covenant, which makes him go to the second covenant, which is the Adamic covenant, which is where he sends them out of the garden, says, these are the issues. Remember, you can pick your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. You can choose your sin, but you can't choose what happens as a reaction of it. There are some things in the scripture that he says, if you do this, this will happen. How many of you know he told them, if you eat the apple, you will die? And how many of you know they ate the apple and then they were like, well, wait a minute, I didn't die. Not understanding that spiritual death came immediately and physical death came later because of it. Right? And we went over that over the last couple of weeks. And then this week we're going to do the Noahic covenant, which is the key word for that, if you'll remember, was restraint. And you'll explain more when we go through that. The other covenants, the Abrahamic covenant, the Mosaic covenant, the Palestinian covenant, the Davidic covenant, and then the New Covenant. And what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to go through all of these covenants. And then at the end, we're going to show you how many know Jesus fulfilled everything that he needed to fulfill to be the Messiah, right? Every prophecy that came, everything that happened. And we're going to talk about the last week about how in these covenants, Jesus Christ fulfilled every single one of them. One of the things that I want us to remember in the Word of God, don't just read the Word of God, study it. And what I mean by that, there are so many things that we miss because we just don't understand it or we read over it quickly, right? Or we don't understand where it's at in the context. Like the main point that I told you guys about last week was where he talks about how Jesus, the first time we see where God talks about what Jesus is going to do to the enemy. Remember, he says he'll crush your head, but you'll bruise his heel. Right? You guys remember that? Most people read that and don't understand that he's talking about what Jesus is going to do. This is the first part where we see that happening. And in the Word of God, those things are, it's like hidden gems. Dr. Steve, what's the verse? Proverbs what? Sorry. I'll put you on the spot. To conceal a man, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter and the honor of kings to seek it out, right? So God conceals it and we look for it. We find it. And in the Word of God, he tells us we're supposed to look, right? Seek and you'll find, right? He tells us knock, doors will be open. Do these things. It is our job to get in the Word of God and find these things and know what they are. So what? So like David says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. That I can do what you've created me to do. That I can be who you've called me to be. So in these covenants, we're going to go through all these things. The last week, we're going to talk about how Jesus fulfilled them all. Remember, there are two types of covenant. The unilateral covenant and the bilateral covenant. The unilateral means it's a one-sided covenant, like the one we're going to talk about today. This is a one-sided covenant. God says, I'm doing this. right? Now, there were some things he told Noah to do, but that's not a part of the covenant. He said, I'm going to make my covenant, and you're going to do all these other things separate from, it's a separate thing. It's not that if-thens like we talked about, and that's what the bilateral covenant would be. If I make a covenant with Aaron, and I say, Aaron, I'm going to cut your grass for the next month. He's like, thank you, Jesus, right? If I say, Aaron, if you cook dinner for me for a week, I'll cut your grass for a month. See how the covenant is? If you do this, then I will do this. But if you don't cook dinner for me for the next week, I'm not going to cut your grass, right? It's like very, very basic. It's like allowance, right? If you clean your room, you do the dishes, I'll give you $5 or $10 or whatever it is you guys give. I don't know. My wife does all that. Everything's going up. It's now the 10-second rule instead of the 5-second rule because the cost of food just went up a lot, right? Anyway, sorry. Oh, sorry, y'all. Anyway, it's one of those principles like if you clean your room, if you do these things, then I will do this, right? That's a bilateral covenant. Right? That's a bilateral agreement. Other way to put it is an unconditional. There's no conditions to it. It's just going to happen. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He did it regardless of what I did. Because of what I did, he did it, right? And then we go on to the conditional. Bilateral would be a conditional. It has conditions to it. So with that, I'm going to jump into the scripture. We're going to read some stuff. I'm going to stop a little bit in between here, J-Dog, so you'll have to kind of catch up with me. I'm not sure if I made it right over there yet or not. But how many of you appreciate what they do in the back there? Thank you guys, man. I appreciate it. We're going to start Genesis 6, 1 through 22. It says, when man began to multiply on the face of the land and the daughters were born to them, the sons of God saw that the daughters were attractive and they took as their wives any they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not abide in man forever, for he is flesh. His days shall be 120 years. So you see right here, right? You see how how Adam and how Seth and how his descendants until this point lived to 900 years, 999 years. Like they lived for many, many years. People are like, well, their calendar was different. I don't believe that. If it says it in the Word of God, evening and morning was a day, that's how it's counted out. That's what I believe, right? I don't believe in anyway, that's a whole other subject. So let me get back to this. Then it says, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days and also after when the sons of God came to the daughters of men and they bore children with them. Again, this is a whole other topic, so we're not going to get deep into this. I'm just going to read through it. These were mighty men. Who were old and men of renown. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of men was great in the earth. How many of you know the wickedness of man is great in the earth today? How many of you know, and this is a me statement. This is a me statement. I don't believe that the world is any more wicked than it was 20 years ago. I believe the difference is it's accepted to be evil today and wicked today. It is put into a place where right is wrong and wrong is right, right? And the scripture tells us that's going to happen. So rejoice, right? He tells us that's going to happen. He tells us it's going to get worse before it gets better. You guys know that? So, but in all of that, we need to make sure that we stay pure, that we stay holy and righteous as much as we can, right? How many of you know it's difficult sometimes to do the right thing? I don't always want to do the right thing. Paul says, I want to do the right thing. I won't do it. I don't want to do the wrong thing, but that's what I do, right? He's not condoning. It's okay, just keep going on and doing it. Try not to. Do everything you can to walk holy, because he says, be holy as I am holy. So we're supposed to try, right? But I put a meme on Facebook the other day. It was a whole bunch of flamingos all standing there like this, and then there was a duck in the middle with one foot up, standing like with the rest of the finger. And I'm like, this is Christians trying to fit into the world, right? This is what it looks like, or should look like. We should be so different that when they see us even acting like we're not supposed to act, that they'd be like, that's weird. That's not how it's supposed to look. Amen? All right. Then the Lord saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intention of thought of his heart was only evil continually. And this is one of the saddest statements in the Bible. Then the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him to his heart. How many of you know if there's anything that's going to grieve us in the world, it should be what grieves God? If it saddens the heart of God, that should be what we get grieved about. Amen? We should be focused on doing everything we can to help in that situation. The Lord regretted it. Grieved him in his heart. So, verse 7, the Lord said, I will blot out man who I have created from the face of the land, man and animals and creeping things and birds of the heaven, for I am sorry that I made them. Then it says in verse 8, but Noah found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Then it says, verse 9, these are the generations of Noah. It says, Noah was a righteous man, blameless in his generation. Noah walked with God. Then it says Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. One of the things I want us to look right here is that we see, how many of you know, translations vary. Aaron and I were talking about this last night. The King James Version says something totally different, and the Living Translation says something totally different. This one says that Noah was a righteous man. This translation may not have hit the mark on that one. How many of you know why I say that? Because the scripture says there's no one righteous, no, not one. Right? And so when we look at this, one of the things that we see, and I'm not saying the Bible's wrong, I'm saying that it was probably translated a little bit in the way it shouldn't have been. How many of you know there's some words they put in there? So that's why it's important. I look at all the translations. When you see me studying, man, I'll have like five different Bibles laid out. I'm looking at this one, and I'm looking at that one, and I'm going to this one and changing it up. But what happens right here is it says blameless in his generation. And then the most important thing happens. The most important wording comes. It says Noah walked with God. Noah had a relationship with God. I mean, you know, you can know all the words, you can do everything right that there is, but without a relationship with him, it does you no good. Absolutely no good. There has to be a relationship. There has to be that opportunity, that time to be in his presence and to get along with him. Remember, Adam walked with God in the cool of the evening. One of the things that we see here with Noah is he got some of the things that was promised to Adam that the rest of us don't usually get. Now, we get to walk with God. There's a difference now between then and now. Remember, the temple veil is ripped, and God's spirit is inside of us. It dwells in our hearts and dwells in us, right? The word of God says that his spirit, I'll put it inside you. It says it in Ezekiel. But what we see here is that Noah had a right relationship with God. And one of the weird things that I see about this one scripture right here is that right after it, it tells us something and then shifts that really has no bearing to the story and then shifts gears. And I'm gonna tell you why I think it's important. Then it tells us that he had three sons. Notice it says Noah was good. And it says the generation, he was blameless in his generation. And then it said, here's Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. And then it goes straight back to the story where it was at before, right? So it gives us that little block. Why did it put the sons' names in there? I'm going to explain it in just a second, right? What I believe in it. Now the earth was corrupt in the sight of God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God saw the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted their way on the earth. And God said to Noah, I have determined to make an end of all flesh, for the earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make yourself an ark of gopher wood. Make rooms in the ark. Cover it inside and out with pitch. This is how you are to make it. The length of the ark is 30 cubits. The breadth of is 50 cubits. The height is 30 cubits. Make a roof for the ark and finish it to the cubit above. And set the door of the ark in its side. Make it with a lower second and third deck. Then it says, for behold, I will bring a flood waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh in which the breath of life, which is the breath of life under heaven, everything that is on the earth shall die. One of the things that we have to understand, this is really cool. I didn't get so far into it. This is just a scratch the surface of it. But one of the guys and that I was listening to and reading in a couple of the different articles that I was reading and studying, these parameters the sizes. You know how God gave him, you build it this long and this high and with this and with that and how to do these things? That formula of how they put together and build the ships today is still the same kind of formula. The same percentages of how high, how wide, how tall. Now, like I said, I just scratched the surface on it. How does God work? He gives us things way back then, and we see how it works for today. Still, right? And then you go to this part right here where he says, I'm going to destroy the earth. Now, there's a teaching out right now that I heard not too long ago. One of my favorite pastors that I listened to was the one that put it out. I was like, oh, man, come on. How many of you know not everybody gets it right? Even a cow smart enough to nuzzle out the briars. He does some amazing story speaking on the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works. But this one, he just like, anyway. There's a theology out right now that it was a localized flood, that God didn't flood the whole earth. He just flooded that part, that one part of it. Science doesn't bear that out. Aaron and I were talking about that yesterday. There are places in the earth where they go down and they're like, yep, the whole earth had water on it at one time. Right? And so the science backs this up right now. But it has to be a whole earth flood. And there's a reason behind that. Because God says in the end, and I'm jumping to the end, he says, I will never destroy the earth again by flood. Do you know what? There are localized floods all the time. Before we moved down here in 2015, there was a flood in my parish, which is like a county. They're called parishes in Louisiana. And 75% of the homes and businesses in my parish were flooded 18 inches to 3 foot, at least. That was the minimum on them. There were some houses. My boss Ray lived right on a canal. His house was, you couldn't see the water on it on his house because the whole house was underwater. How many of you know that's a flood? How many of you know if God said, I'm not going to destroy the earth again by way of flood, and then it was a localized flood, and then we have a flood, how many of you know God's word is not true? So there's some things that you can see in here. What we need to understand is this flood did cover the whole earth, did take out everything that lived on the earth and breathed on the earth, except for what he gave to Noah and Noah's family. One of the things that I want us to see in this, and I'm gonna read it in verse 18, and then I'm going to stop again. But I will establish my covenant with you. Notice, he didn't give him an option. He didn't say, hey, why don't we make a covenant? He said, I'm going to establish my covenant, and you're going to live under it. That's the way it's going to work. That's unilateral, right? There's not a, if you do this. He says, my covenant with you, and then it says, and you shall come onto the ark, your sons, your wives, and your sons' wives with you. One of the things that we see here in the Bible study we had Wednesday night, we talked about covering and how there's a spiritual covering and how it works and how it's sent from God and it works all the way down to the person. Not that anyone's lower than anyone, but you understand how the governments, how the systems are set up, right? In my house, there's a pecking order. I'm the dad. April comes next. She's the wife. Then my kids come after that. Then the dogs after that. We put my niece in before my dog, but because she lives with us too. And then her dog's at the very end. Ellie's just at the end of it all, right? That's how it works coming down the thing. The same is true in a spiritual covering, okay? My spiritual covering is my father. That is my spiritual covering. You know the spiritual covering still for Victory Church, even though he's retired and he's there? My father is still the spiritual covering for this place. Why? Because I'm the pastor. He's my spiritual covering. How many of you know it trickles down? That's the way it goes. One of the things that we see here is that Noah's family had protection under the covering of Noah. Do you know it did not say that Shem and Ham and Japheth, it did not say that they were righteous men. It did not say they were good people. It did not say. Now, I don't want us to take it the wrong way here and say, because my mom and daddy are saved, I'm saved too. How many of you know there's an age of accountability and we have our own walk with him? But at this point, the blessing that comes to Noah because of his righteousness, because of his blameless life, right? His family gets to reap the benefits of it. Think, if you think your sin does not affect your family, you're wrong. If you think the blessing of God in your life does not affect your family, you're wrong. Deuteronomy 7, 8 through 9. It says, but it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath that he swore to your fathers, that the Lord has brought you out with a mighty hand and redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh in Egypt, Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenants and steadfast love with those who love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. To 1,000 generations. My walk with God affects my family, my girls, my father's walk with God. You know what? There were some chains that were in my family, the Cox family, and my mom's side of the family that were bound, that bound our family up, that were loosed and released when my dad made his covenant with God. Right? There's family curses, and you've heard of those. Those are a thing, right? It passes down from generation to generation. Read in your Bible, it's there. But you know what? It can be broken. God's the one that does it. That's one of the reasons why I'm loving this study, man. Going through Unchained and Undercover. Broken chains and cover, God being your covering. It's an amazing thing. So anyway, getting back to this. Noah's family had protection under the covering of Noah. And the thing that I want you to think about is, how is your relationship with God? And is it covering with blessing the people that are under you? Or are we bringing curses into our lives for our generations to come? Think that thought. Anyway. One of the things that I pointed out, I'm a squirrel again. One of the things that I pointed out a couple weeks ago, and I don't remember what service it was or how I was praying it, but God says to Abraham that I'll bless those that bless you and I'll curse those that curse you. And that promise comes down to us as well. How many of you know it flows down through to us as Christ followers? We have that. But what about when a Christ follower is cursing another Christ follower? What happens? Think about that. Think about that. When that's, I'm too far of a squirrel. I'm one day. Sorry. We need to understand that what we do affects our line, the people that are under us. Not just physically, but how many of you know there's some spiritual leadership that we have in people's lives that's the same way. I have a spiritual father. Now, my dad, still spiritual father, physical father, but my Pastor Carl in Louisiana is one of my spiritual mentors, one of my spiritual fathers, right? He teaches, he still invests into me. He still calls me all the time like, hey, bro, how you doing, man? Are you okay? What's going on? What can I pray for? How can I invest into you? That's what my mentor does. Do you know what? We need to be doing that to other people. We need to be doing that to other people. Getting back to the story, Genesis 19 through 22. It says, and of every living thing of flesh, you shall bring two of every sort into the ark and keep them alive. Notice right there, he doesn't say they're going to come in on their own. He says, hey, you're going to bring them in. That's one of the things that we see about the thing that Adam had that God gave to Noah for a brief moment, control over the animals. He brought him in. He said, this is where you're going to go. And the animal said, okay, come on in. How many of y'all ever tried to catch a pig? Y'all remember seeing those grease pig things where you're trying to grab a hold of everybody trying to get him, that sucker just running? How many of you ever tried to get a chicken? It's rough. But how many of you know, I don't believe Noah ran around trying to catch stuff to put him in the thing, like a chicken with his head cut off, right? I don't believe he was doing that. I believe that they came in and he's like, hey, go over there. And they're like, okay, I'll go there. I believe even the cats did what he said. That's impossible. Cats got their own mind, right? I believe that when he said, hey, this is where you go, because he said, build rooms in it, and you're going to put these, and you're going to take them, and you're going to put them in these rooms, and you guys are going to go out and do what you're supposed to do. You're going to, the door's going to shut, and you guys are going to take off, and everything is going to be safe. So you're going to get food enough for all of them. You're going to get a room for all of them to be there. Then you see the same picture that they saw in the garden where the lion lay by the lamb. Weren't trying to eat each other. He didn't have iron bars for cages, right? Anyway, just some thoughts to think about on that subject. They shall be male and female. So you're going to take one of each. Of the birds according to their kind, of the animals according to their kind, and of every creeping thing of the ground according to its kind. Two of them of every sort shall come into you to keep them alive. Again, they're going to come, you're going to put them where they go, and you're going to keep them alive. You're going to take care of them. You're going to maintain them. The same thing that he told Adam he was going to do in the garden. Also, take with you every sort of food that is eaten and stored up, and it shall serve as food for you and for them. Noah did this. And he did all that God commanded. One of the things that we see here in the story is that Noah was obedient. He had a right relationship with God, and then Noah was obedient. Remember, we've talked about this time and time again. Obedience brings blessing. It does. You can see it all through the scripture where blessing comes because of obedience. Now, can we be blessed without being obedient? You know what? When I was a knucklehead in the world, God blessed me by keeping me here, by doing certain things for me, by making sure I didn't die, right? Head on car crash with a truck, flipped my truck 5 times, got a pin and a screw, pin and a screw in my foot, plating 6 screws in my arm, got all this kind of stuff. I could tell stories about how God brought me through certain things. How many of you could tell stories about how God brought you through things when you were a knucklehead? Before you loved him. So his blessing was on you then. But scripture does dictate the amount of blessing and covering that comes is through obedience. We can see it over and over. Again, this is a unilateral covenant. He said in Genesis 6:18, I will establish my covenant with you, and you shall come to the ark, your sons, your wife, your sons' wives with you. This is the first time in Scripture where the word covenant is actually used. Before, the covenants were made, but the word covenant wasn't used until this moment right here, where he says, I will establish my covenant. Right? We go on through, and this is one of the things. He doesn't tell them what the details of the covenant are. He just says, I'm making a covenant with you at this point. Right? He just says, I'm going to do it. Then we don't see details, kind of a brief summary of it, until Genesis 8, 21 and 22, when it says, and this is when Noah got finished, came out of the ark, and he made a sacrifice to God, right? And then it says this, and when the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma, the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground because of man. For the intention of man's heart is evil from his youth. Neither will I again strike down every living creature as I have done. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold, heat, summer, winter, day, night shall not cease. Now this brief summary right here, we see something told. He says, I will never again flood the or curse the earth because of man. Remember what happened to the earth when Adam was sent out of the garden. Cursed is the ground. Now you're going to toil painfully to get food, to grow things. You're going to have to work difficultly to do that. Again, one of the things that was said, and I don't think I said it. Somebody told me this. I think Dr. Steve told me this afterwards. One of the cool things that you see after the garden is what happened to grow on the earth. Thorns and thistles. What was around Jesus' head at the time on the cross? Crown of thorns. It's one of those things that you see and notice in the Word of God. One of the things that we see at the end of verse 22 is that he sets forth the laws of consistency. He says, right now, he says, summertime's going to come, seed time's going to be here, harvest is going to be here, cold, heat, they're going to come, winter, summer, day and night, it will not end. It will not end. How many of you know? We plant on a calendar. You know that. We know when springtime's coming. We know when it's time to plant this. We know when it's time to plant that. Unless you're like me, I'm like, look, I want some of this. Let's plant it. And then you go and like, it ain't doing nothing. Wonder why. I'm like, oh, I'm supposed to plant it in spring. It's middle of December. Okay, that makes sense, right? One of the physical principles or spiritual principles that we see about that is there's a time to plant a seed in people's lives. There's a time where it's not going to grow even if you plant it. Don't mean you don't plant it. Still plant it, because what's that one bamboo tree, 5-year bamboo tree? It's in the ground for 5 years, and then all of a sudden it shoots up overnight. Look it up. It's a true thing. Like, shoots up overnight, so much so that they can hear it cracking as it grows, they say, right? I've never been there. I'm just, look it up. It's there. Yeah, it's a Google machine. Do it. You know what? Pineapples. You put pineapple, you cut the top of it, you put it in the ground, supposedly not till 5 years later before a pineapple comes from it. That's a long time to wait. Now, I just saw one the other day, there was a pineapple in it. Avocados, you plant avocados. It's a long time before you get avocados, right? Anyway, there's laws, there's seasons, day and night. He said, this is what's going to happen, and it's not going to end. It's the promise that he made. Then we go down to chapter 9, verses 1 through 17. It says, and God blessed Noah and his sons, and said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Have we heard that before? The fear of you and the dread of you shall be upon every beast of the earth, upon every bird of the heaven, upon every living thing on the ground, and all the fish of the sea. So, right here, what does it say? A fear of you. Wonder why all the animals in the forest run away from us. The fish taking off. Maybe. Maybe they know we're going to eat them. Maybe it's because this is what God said. They will have a fear of you. You won't have communion. You won't have fellowship. You won't have what was supposed to be because of the sin nature, right? Coming in. This is just another place that we see that in there. And into your hand they are delivered. This is another thing that we see. Every moving thing that lives shall be food for you. So what does it say? Every living thing shall be food for you. Remember how everyone was vegetarian? Now, this is one of the places where he says, hey, every living thing, everything on the earth is food, right? We see lions and tigers and bears hunting other animals. We see people getting food, us doing all these different things. So now, this is another squirrel. Vegetarian lifestyle, meat lifestyle, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to, you know what? Pray about it. God says in the Bible, in one place, David says, I'm only supposed to eat vegetables. You get the Levitical law here in a little bit, and it gives us a law of what we should eat, what we shouldn't eat, right? That was a certain time. There's a bunch of other laws that are there too. There's like 600 and something laws in the Levitical laws. 600 and something. And I wrote it down, but I don't have my paper. Don't you hate it when you have write down something so you remember it, but you don't remember? This is an approximation because I remember the abouts. About 245 of them are do or positive commandments. And the other, however many would be left, 300 and something, right? 400 and something, are negative. Do not do these things. Anyway, that's a whole bunch of stuff to try to do and not do. Amen? Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad Jesus died for our sins? Ooh. This is what it says. And your life. Blood, I will require a reckoning from every beast. I will require it from man, from his fellow man. I will require a reckoning for the life of man. Okay, don't get mad. I have a question for you to think about. There's a question asked. Is God for the death penalty? Right? We asked that question. I'm going to read the scripture. You guys can make up your own mind. Whoever sheds the blood of a man, by a man his blood shall be shed. For God has made him in his own image. Again, he created Adam in his image. Then Adam came. We're created in Adam's image. Why? Because we have a sinful nature. Now, when we're born again, the spirit man, that's why we have to be born again. That's why Jesus is the second Adam. He did what the first Adam could not. Amen? Then it comes down, verse 7, and you be fruitful and multiply, increase greatly on the earth and multiply it. Then God said to Noah and to his sons, behold, I establish my covenant with you, your offspring, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, the beasts of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. It is for every beast on the earth. I establish my covenant with you, I, that never again shall flesh be cut off by the water of the flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the whole earth. God said, this is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you for all future generations. How long did he make it for? All future generations. Then it says, I have set my bow in the clouds that it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you and every living thing, every living creature of all flesh, and the waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Again, localized flood, world flood. It explains it. If it's localized, then it makes God's word a lie. How many of you know God's word is not a lie? Every word of it is true. When the bow is seen in the clouds, I will see it and remember it. I just read that. God said to Noah, this is the sign of the covenant I have established between me and all the flesh of the earth. One of the things that I see, when I see a rainbow, it makes me think of the flood, right? When I see a rainbow, it makes me think of the covenant. But what did it say right here? God said, every time I see that rainbow, I'm going to remember the covenant that I had with you. You saw that? He said, I'll remember. When I see the rainbow, I'm going to remember. Like he could forget anyway, right? But he's like, I will think about this thing. And no matter what the situation is, I'm not ever going to do that again. Now, do you know why the pride movement took the flag as their symbol? Do you know why? Because God said, I'll never destroy the earth because of evil, wickedness, and sin. And it's a way that they can say, I can do whatever I want to do, and God, you can't destroy me. You gave a promise. You made a promise. But do you understand one thing? This is where half-truths come in. You ready? God didn't say he wouldn't destroy the world again. He said he'd never do it by way of flood. He said he'd never do it by way of flood. Second Peter, we get into the Second Peter. Now this shifts gears. And 2 Peter 3, I have 1 through 18. That's all of it. How much time we got? We got time. I'm going to go through it real quick. It says, now, this is now the second letter I'm writing you. This is 2 Peter 3, 1. We're going to read through 18. I'm writing you, beloved. In both of them, I am stirring up your sincere mind by the way of reminder. So this is what he's saying. Remember how it says we're supposed to stir up love and good works with each other? What we're supposed to do is encourage each other with the word of God. We're supposed to help each other, prod each other along, not tell them what to do, but help them along in their walk, in their life, in their ministries. This is what he's saying. He's like, I'm saying these things to you so it'll stir up your mind and you'll start thinking about them and you'll start studying them and going through them and remember what you've been taught, what you've been told, that you should remember the predictions of the holy prophets and of the commandments of the Lord and Savior through your apostles. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. How many of you know what that sounds like today? They will say, where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation. For they deliberately overlooked the fact that heavens existed long ago, that the earth was formed out of the water, through the water, by the word of God, and that by means of this, the world that then existed was deluged with water and perished. But by the same word, the heavens and the earth that now exist are stored up for fire, being kept until the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. What does that tell us right there? That there will be a day of judgment and there will be a day of reckoning. Again, there's a theology going around. One of my good friends in Louisiana is kind of caught all up in it, man. And it's saying that how many of you know the scripture says God wishes none should perish? It says that. He doesn't want us to. But how many of you know he's not going to go against his word and allow us to come when he said this is what has to happen? Jesus said, no man comes to the Father except through me. How do we get to the Father? By accepting Christ, the work that he's done for us. Not by being holy and doing good things. How many of you know when we accept Christ, we will start living a holy life and we'll start doing good things. Scripture says he'll give you the desires of your heart. Do you know what? My desires today are so different than when I was 18. Thank you, Jesus. Right? The desires that I have in my heart and what I look for and what I expect out of my life and what I look to God for is completely different than before. Why? Because I gave my life to Christ and he changed my desires. So now my desires are to do what he wants to do. Do I mess up? Yup. Do you mess up? Yup. Don't ask my wife about how much I mess up. She'll give you a list probably, right? There's some things that I do wrong, but there's some things that I do right. And this is the thing. Jesus paid for my sins. Not so that I could just continue to sin. Not just so that I could continue to sin. It is not a get out of hell free card. It's not what it is. It is not. There's change that will come. There's things that will be different. If I'm walking by the Spirit, I'll walk in what God has for me, the promises he's given to me. If I don't walk by the Spirit, I'll be led away by my own lusts and desires. That's what Scripture says. So is it important that we follow the Holy Spirit? Yes. Do not overlook the fact that one day verse 8, but do not overlook the fact, this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. You know what? Man, I don't know. I don't know why the earth hasn't ended yet. I'm not God, right? I don't know why he continues to put up with the world and the way the world goes. I'm just thankful that he does, because I'm part of the world right now. My kids, part of the world right now. You know, if he chooses to end it tomorrow, hey, man, we'll be with him. I have no doubt. I have no doubt. But if he continues to go on for a long time, I still need to live my life like he's coming tomorrow. I still need to live my life faithful and holy to him, because no man knows the time, right? There's appointed one time for every man once to die, then judgment, right? There's a judgment that's going to come. We don't need to be afraid of it. We don't need to fear the judgment. We need to live our lives right. We need to live a holy life to the best of our ability. How many of you know, if my kids do something and they mess it up, but they gave everything that they had to do it, I'm not going to be hard on them. Unless we've already talked about don't do this before, right? But if they try to cook me dinner and that thing burns and it's all messed up and nasty, do you know what? I'm going to sit there and I'm going to eat it with a smile on my face. Why? Because they did it for me, right? Paul says that everything that he's done is all the works, all the things that he's done is as filthy rags, right? Is worthless, garbage. So for me to think I can earn salvation is really dumb, right? It's a gift. He's given it to me. He wants us all to come to repentance. I love the scripture in the Bible. It says, this day I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. I want you to choose life. You get to choose. And again, I love the way John said it a while back, about a month or so ago. He said, if you want God here, you get him there. If you don't want God here, you don't get him there. That's what happens. That's the most basic way you can present what it is, right? Let's want him here, man. Let's follow him here. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. The works that are done on it will be exposed. How many of you got some works you hope don't get exposed? Oh. All right. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you be in lives of holiness and godliness? Since we know it's coming, since we know this is happening, what should that make us do with our lives? It should make us want to focus on him. It should make us want to reach out to as many people as we can reach out to. Do you know what? How many of you guys, no, don't, I want you to think it. Don't raise your hand again. This is rhetorical. How many of you guys this last week told somebody about Jesus, one person every day this last week? How many of you did that? How many of you didn't do that? Don't raise your hand. Think the thought. Do you know what? That's what we're called to do. You know what? You know how I did it to a lady in church the other day? She said something, man. You know how there's Christianese words, and you know that they're Christian because they use that word in a sentence? You guys know what I'm talking about? Not that they're bad, but it just kind of is one of those words. So do you know what I did? I was like, how was church on Sunday? She's like, oh, church was amazing. I was like, what did your pastor teach about? What did your pastor? So I don't just do it to you guys. I do it to everybody. I was like, what is your pastor? She said, you know what? Let me think about it. She said, we had a guest speaker in and this, and they said this, and they said this. It was a really powerful word about this and this and this. And do you know what? She was not a quiet woman. So do you know everyone in that area? I was at Save-A-Lot. Everybody in the register area and even in the produce on the side heard about what her pastor taught about on Sunday. Do you know I didn't have to say nothing? People are like, well, I don't do good sharing my thing. Just if somebody says, like, well, God bless you, or, you know, whatever, says something, say, hey, did you go to church on Sunday? And they say, yes. Say, what did your pastor teach about? You put it on them then, right? And they're going to talk to you about stuff. And that gives you things to say, right? Anyway, sorry, just a thought. We should be doing that everywhere we go. Why? Because time is short and it's precious. And we don't know if we're going to have tomorrow. Do you know what? People might not die in your life, but they might move from here to another state and you don't have an opportunity to speak into their life anymore. Right? We always think about time is short and we only have people for a certain time, as in living and dead. But people move. There are seasons that people are here and seasons that people are there. And we go different places. Do you know what? I can't affect the people in Louisiana the way that I used to. But I can affect the people here. Right? I can pour into people while they're in my care. You got coworkers that need to know about Jesus that may be fired tomorrow. Or may get another job and go someplace else. And the ability to impact their life be gone. Right? Because you'll never see them. You'll never really talk to them. How many know most of the people, it's sad, but most of the people, we spend more time at work with other people than we do with our own families. Right? If we're going to be there, let's use that time to share Jesus Christ with people. Not by what we say most of the time, but by how we work, how we act. What's your work ethic? Do you show up on time? Do you show up 10 minutes late? Do you get mad when the boss says you got to do something dumb? Start saying words you shouldn't say behind their back? Cursing them out, right? Do you start saying this or saying that? Like, what do you do? Do you do everything you can as unto the Lord? Work steadily, work heartily as unto him. Just a thought. What should we do? Waiting. What should we do? What sort of people ought we be? Waiting for and hastening the coming of the day, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and the new earth with which the righteous dwell. The millennial reign. This is one of the places where he talks about that. Final words. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. How many of you know if we live a life, we're going to have some attacks, but if we live a godly life, if we walk by the Spirit, how many of you know we're going to be at peace when we understand that God's in control, even in the midst of the stupidest, crazy situations? And count the patience of our Lord as salvation. Just as our brother Paul, who also wrote to you according to the wisdom given him, and he does in all his letters when he speaks in them of these matters. There are some things in them that are hard to understand, which the ignorant and the unstable twist to their own destruction, as they do other scriptures. How many know there's a lot of people that take scriptures and try to make them justify their actions instead of make their actions be justified by the word? There's a lot of people that use a scripture, use part of a scripture or half of a scripture or leave it out, right? That's why it's so important that we get in the word of God. That's why it's so important that you take everything I say today and you go back and look at the scripture and make sure that's what it says. Even though I've said it, even though I've given you some scriptures to look at and see it, study it for yourself. Because the day's going to come, you're going to stand in front of him, and he's going to be like, hey, why'd you do this? Like, well, Pastor Toby said it was okay. Well, I'm going to deal with him in a minute. I'm dealing with you right now. My word says this. Doesn't matter what Pastor Toby said. You know I do that with my kids? Like, why'd you do that? Well, they did this. I'm like, I don't care what they did. I'm going to get them in a minute. Right now, me and you going to deal, because you know you're not supposed to do that, and you did it. Why'd you do it? Well, because, nope, leave them out of it. You're the one that chose to do it. Do you know that's how it's going to be when we stand in front of God? You chose to do it. Well, so-and-so said, well, this is what everybody else was doing. He's not going to use the line your mama did. Well, if everybody else jumped off a cliff, would you do it? Like, she's not going to say that. That's not how it's justification works. He's going to say, hey, you had my word. You had every opportunity to get into it. You had every opportunity to make sure that what you had put inside of you was a good thing. How many of you take the box at the store and look at the back of the ingredients, make sure you ain't putting junk in your body? I remember trying to get a cereal as a kid, and sugar or a word to make that was for sure, like high fructose corn syrup, right, couldn't be in the top three, or we couldn't have it. Remember? And cereal, sugar or high fructose corn syrup could not be in the top three ingredients, or we weren't allowed to buy it. Do you know how limiting that is on cereal? I mean, cardboard in a box, man. Anyway. Do you know what? We need to read and make sure that we're putting the right stuff in our bodies through the scripture? It's important, man. It's important. You therefore, beloved, knowing this beforehand, take care that you are not carried away with the error of lawless people and lose your own stability. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and to the day of eternity. Amen. In saying all this and going through this covenant and seeing what God has said, he's not going to destroy the world by flood again. No matter how evil it gets, no matter how messed up it gets, but understand this, there will be a day of judgment. There will be a day of judgment. This is probably as close to hell and brimstone you're going to hear me preach, right? Fire and brimstone. You know what? It's in the Word of God. And I can lean all 100% on that, just like I could lean 100% on prosperity. And I'd be wrong both places, because you're supposed to preach the whole counsel of God, right? But ultimately, understanding that we will stand accountable one day for everything that we say, how much more should we guard what we say, guard our hearts? How much more should we understand that this covenant is a restraint? Remember I told you the key word for this one was restraint? Because at first God says, I'm killing them all. I'm just doing away with everything. But then he said, no, I'm going to make a way. Do you know why he made a way? Because he had already made some covenants. He had already made some covenants. He had already proclaimed how Jesus was going to take care of the serpent. Right? If he ended it all right there, his covenant would have been broken. God doesn't break covenants. We do. God doesn't break covenants. We do. God doesn't take his love from you. We walk away from it. Anyway, with that, I want you guys to take all of this, man. I want you to think about it this week, to study it this week. Do you know what? I want you to send me questions. I've had more people ask me questions about this one than I have about any other series we've done. I've had more people talk to me about this one and say, hey, what about this? Or you said this, I'm not so sure about it. I'm like, okay, look, I'm good. I'm good with being wrong about something if you could show me in scripture. I'm okay. You know what? Because I don't want to teach the wrong stuff. Just be honest. But come with scripture. Let's bring scripture in and say, hey, this is where the Word of God says this. I'm like, okay, well, let's take this because I see the Word of God say this, and I know it sounds like they're contradicting right now, but God's Word doesn't contradict, so we're missing something. Let's find it. Let's find it. Let's get into scripture, man. Let's learn. Let's grow. You guys ready to go play kickball? I'm excited. Dwayne and them are making hot dogs. They're big hot dogs. Hope they don't shrink down when they cook them. I hate it when that happens. You know, you put a hamburger on, it's like this big, and then it ends up being like this when you eat it. We're going to go and have a good time. But again, I want to encourage you. And I forgot to do this last week, and that's my fault. How many of you set a goal, and you're going to do it, and then you miss it? Do you know what you do when you miss your goal? You stand back up, and you start aiming at the goal again. So last week, I did not encourage you guys to go out and share Jesus Christ with one person every day. I did not, and I meant to. Today, I'm going to challenge you, man. Say something about Jesus to somebody. Again, even if it's just saying, hey, do you mind if I tell you what Jesus did for me? And if they say no, that's okay, because you already told them Jesus changed you. Right? I mean, you already told them that. Now, if they say yes, go ahead and plan something that you're going to say after that. Don't just bank on them saying no, okay? Somebody might be like, yeah, I want to hear all about it. Like, he died for me. He forgave my sins. The end. And he loves me and you. And he'll forgive your sins, right? That's gospel. Let's share it with people so that no one can ever think, man, why? That's one of my, so I'm going to be real with y'all for a minute. My grandpa died a long time ago. And I wasn't even really serving God at the time. Like, I wasn't. I had just got saved because I came down here debating on whether I was going to go back to Louisiana or not. And some of y'all know my story, how I went there for 2 weeks and just never came home till like 16, 17 years later. But my grandfather died and we drove up there. And you know, the whole time that I was upset with myself because I didn't tell him Jesus loved him. I didn't give him an opportunity. And I should have. Do you know what? Don't let opportunities go by. If you Don't take the gift that you've been given for granted. Share it with everybody. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Father God. We thank you for today. We thank you that we're going to get to go play kickball and eat some hot dogs and some chips and laugh at people when they fall down and run around bases. And thank you that we get to go do all that stuff, man. Thank you that we can come together as your children and encourage and lift up and build each other up, Father God. I thank you for that. I ask that you would let us see every opportunity that you put in front of us to be able to share your love, grace, and mercy with everybody we come in contact with, Father God, and help us, Holy Spirit, to live the lives that God's called us to, to follow you, to have the self-control, the discipline, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness, everything that comes with you being a part of our lives. We ask that you'd help us with that now. Bless this food as we go out to the playground and keep everybody safe from here to there. And those that can't come out, God, bless their food and let them have an amazing day too. Let us just impact this world for you this week. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Amen. I love you guys.